Welcome to another episode of the Sam Horton Podcast. I'm your host, Sam, and today we have Mike Smith. Mike is an old friend of mine. We've known each other since we were kids. Mike is actually a bird handler. Here today we have his hawk. This is a pet hawk. You have two of these, don't you?
I do, yes. This is Romulus. He is 2 years old, and I've got Minerva at home, she hatched in June.
Amazing.
So she's about 7 months old. I always got told that you can't actually keep these. So I kind of forgot about it, I'd say about 10, 15 years. Roll it towards when I was an accountant about 4 or 5 years ago. I realised that you can actually keep these animals. So I put all my heart and soul into reading what jobs I can do for these animals and what they can do for me. What quarry I'll be looking for. So quarries, things like they'd be catching, so like rabbits, pigeons, squirrels. Because there's no point in getting a bird that you won't be able to facilitate for, if that makes sense. So I was going to shows, reading books, found a mentor, and on the 14th of June 2020 I got lucky enough to rescue a bird for the first time. So that's essentially how I got into it, really.
So what did you rescue him from?
Unfortunately, she was rescued from a garden shed. So right. So these guys have got about 4.5 foot wingspan. And she was locked in a 3x3 shed, so she couldn't even spread her wings. It took us about 6 months to get her eating off the glove. And then it took a further 4 or 5 months.
What was that sound?
So that's just him. When he doesn't shout and scream, he's basically just saying, "I'm a big scary bird, you know, okay. Look at me, I'm really plump and dangerous." But
is he quite defensive? Like if a stranger, someone doesn't know him, tries to hold him?
I'd say they're very similar to dogs. So you know when they go off the aura of somebody?
Yeah.
These guys are very, very similar. So if you're very quick, very all over the place, because eyesight is their superpower, they get very, very, very jumpy. But I mean, yeah, you can more than welcome to try again. If you go up by his mouth there.
Oh, yeah. He's not likely to bite or anything.
No. And if he would bite, it's a lot less painful than these talons down here.
You can see his pupils are like dilating like crazy.
Yeah.
They're going from really small to really large. Is that him kind of focusing in on his surroundings?
Yeah, no. So what they do, where we've got one focal point, the birds have got two focal points. Right. So they've got one at 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
And then they've got another one at about, I'd say about 90 degrees. So coming out here. So they've got two focus points that they use, which is why when you see some birds, they like tilt their head like that.
Yeah.
Or when you see pigeons doing, moving their head backwards and forwards, because they're using one to focus on the close things and then the other one to look at predators as well.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Which is, these guys are absolutely fascinating. They really, really are. They're the closest relative to these guys are dinosaurs. Which is why they've got the name of, well, a lot of Americans call them raptors.
Yeah.
So if you've ever seen like Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, you might remember Blue, the raptor.
Like the Velociraptor.
Yeah, the Velociraptor. Yeah. These guys have got, if you imagine the Velociraptor's feet and then look at these guys' feet, they're very, very similar.
Yeah, they are actually.
And then their eyes as well, when you look at the eyes on the CGI from the dinosaurs.
Can you just bring him a little bit closer so they can see the feet? They literally look prehistoric.
So that's his feet there. Yeah. He's got the dew claw from the back, which is where all the power comes from.
Yeah.
But his eyes, that is the real superpower there.
If you weren't wearing that glove and he were just to sit on your arm, would it kind of make you bleed?
No. He is very, very gentle. Yeah. I just have the glove for extra protection because yes, he's calm and chilled around me, but if anything was to make him jump, then he would impale in my hand.
Could he impale your skin like as deep as those talons go?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. So even though for his size, he doesn't look all of that, in the wild in Arizona, they are prone to catch jackrabbits.
Right.
So it's like our hare, but about 2 to 3 times larger.
Right.
So he's very, very powerful. And the males, their talons are a lot like needles. Yeah. So these are literally like surgical needles. My female, they're like just blunt. Yeah. But she's got even more power behind her.
Are the males larger or the females larger?
No. So in the bird world, yeah, in the animal kingdom for birds of prey, or any bird really, the males are usually about 30% smaller than the females.
Mm.
I believe it's due to the females having to, you know, hold the eggs, and produce gestate, I think. Is that the right word? Or
yeah, I think so. They go through a gestation
process. Yeah, their egg-laying process. And at a time, they can have anywhere between 3 to 7 eggs in a clutch.
Yeah.
So you would need the size behind all of that.
I'm surprised how he's just sitting there so calm. Like, he doesn't want to leave, doesn't want to fly off at all.
No. So it's usually down to a lot of manning. So he's on the glove on my fist at least 2 to 3 hours every day.
Right.
And I've had him... So he was 2 in October. So I've had him... I'd say about 18 to 20 months. I've had him for, and it's just been every day. We walk around. I expose him to all kinds of mischievous things, shall we say. So I'll be walking past cars. We'll go to the train station. Mm. So the more I expose him, the calmer he is around other things.
Yeah. It makes him more used to it, I guess. More tolerant of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So the end game for us is to have a pest control company. So then what we will do is I'll let him off, go to places like Southampton Docks, Wimbledon, Gunwharf Keys, let him off, and whatever he catches, he will take home.
Yeah.
Can
you bring him over here?
Yeah.
Because he's just like, or maybe you like switch hands, or is that designed for the left hand?
It is designed for the left hand. What I will do is, there we go. There we go. So he's very, very calm. There we go.
Can I touch his wings?
Yeah, of course you can, mate, yeah.
That's a sign, don't mess with me.
Basically.
Otherwise, I will rip your throat out.
Yeah, at the moment, he's just chatting. You'll know when he's getting aggressive. Yeah. Like, all his wings will come out, and he'll puff himself out to make him a bit more intimidating than he already is. This is what we do every single day. He'll go into schools, and kids will... I kind of mitigate which children can hold him and stroke him because he's very... So he's not your typical household pet.
Yeah.
He is still a wild animal. He is a working animal as well. So he's not tame, so to speak. He's just well-handled, and he's used to all of these different... scenarios that he's just chilled and comfortable.
Yeah.
He's still a bit fat, so
what do you feed him?
Whatever he wants. It's usually feathers and fur. So feathers and fur. So when we're out hunting, he'll go for, I don't know, squirrels, rabbits, pigeons.
Oh, the meat. Geese. The animals which are feathered. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I thought you meant he just eats the feathers.
Oh, no. No. So he needs feathers, bones, fur in his diet.
Yeah.
So what he'll do is he'll swallow it down because they have no teeth. And it goes into... There's a bit here called his crop.
Yeah.
So when he's eaten, all the food waiting to be digested will sit in his crop.
Yeah.
And every morning he'll then cough up the bits that he can't digest. Yeah. Similar to a hairball for a cat, but it's just got bones and stuff in it. Because that is a vital part of their diet.
Right.
Because if they were to eat, say, any... dodgy meat, it won't just sit there in their stomach and produce a lot of issues for them. So he will cough it up every morning, which is it's lovely. It's lovely, isn't it, mate?
Does that make some sounds?
Yeah.
So your plan is to do like a pest control, start a pest control company with using this guy.
Absolutely.
To get rid of like, what's that, rabbits, mice, voles, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, so whatever he feels comfortable catching, he will go for.
Yeah.
So the largest thing he's gone for are geese.
Yeah.
Nearly went after a swan once, but his recall's bang on that I managed to call him back before he managed to take down the swan.
Yeah.
Because
would he be able to take on a swan?
Oh, yeah.
But because of his claws?
Yeah, he's very, very powerful. Yeah. So how they catch their prey is very similar to a boa constrictor. Mm. So they'll go straight on the neck and just squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. Yeah. And with the Harris hawks, these are the only birds of prey that will work as a team.
Okay.
So that's why I've got two of them. So he'll flush the prey out, being smaller, more agile.
Yeah.
And my female will be, say, I don't know, let's say we're in a forest now. He's flying towards her. She'll be somewhere up there.
Yeah.
And then when she's had enough, they'll both go down together.
So they work as a little, they work as team.
They do. They do indeed. Yeah. And hopefully they'll start breeding in, well, about 5 years.
Are they monogamous? Do they form bonds with one partner and stay with that for life? Or do they tend to, like, you know,
That's actually a good question.
Hoe around a bit.
Yeah, so I'm not too sure about that one, to be honest. Okay. I would assume that they're very... So I used to have a female before Romulus here. Sadly, she got electrocuted. And he seems to be doing all right with the new female. So yeah. I think... I'd like to think they're monogamous, but I mean, in the wild, where they originate from in Arizona, you've got things like coyotes, other hawks as well, which are a lot larger than him, and then you've got the eagles.
Yeah.
So I would like to think that they're a lot like swans. They find a mate and mate for life. But
I think penguins are like that as well, right?
Yeah, I believe they are, actually. So yeah.
That's why I asked, because I know some birds are. They stick with one partner.
Like the albatrosses. I was going to say I thought the puffin was, but I'm not sure about that one. I've only really focused on my larger birds.
Yeah.
Even though he is very small for the species he is, which is very, very lucky for myself, because he's... he's like a bullet sometimes when he wants to be.
He's fast.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
What are the chances of you actually losing him, taking him out to fly and him just like never coming back?
So that's actually part of the reason why his feathers are so, wet, I'd say.
Yeah.
This morning I went to go get him out and he'd already escaped from the aviary.
Ah.
But luckily for me...
Escape artist.
Oh, don't. I was going to rename him Steve McQueen. Like, he's... He loves to play The Great Escape every now and then.
Yeah.
But... No, they will wait for the food to come to them. So I used to have a falcon.
Yeah.
Sadly, she's not with us anymore. But if he's too fat and can't be bothered, he'll just sit up a tree and wait until he's ready to go again.
Right.
Typical teenager, you know, when they're full and can't really be bothered, they won't. They won't at all.
So you said you've owned him 2 years?
I have, yes.
How old is he? Just did a shit.
So he is two.
right on my new rug.
Yeah.
I'll clean it up. It's all good, man. Yeah. No worries.
I've got some tissue paper here. I knew that was going to happen. There we go. So he hatched in October 2021.
Yeah.
By my mentor, who's got two of them already. He's got Elvis and Priscilla.
Yeah.
So he used to be called Clyde, and the one who I lost to electrocution was called Bonnie.
Okay.
And I couldn't, when I got the other female, I couldn't really have another Bonnie and Clyde, because that'd be a bit strange. So, renamed him.
Yeah, it's probably for the best, yeah. How many hours a day do you spend with this guy? Do you have to fly him every day, or do you have to, can he just sit in the aviary and just chill on his own for a couple of days by himself?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So he hasn't actually been out flying for... What day are we today? We are Saturday. Yeah, so about a week. Yeah. I went out shooting last week, took a couple of pheasants home. He had one. The female had the other one.
Yeah.
And yesterday he weighed 1 pound and 7 ounces. So he's still a bit overweight.
Yeah.
So it all really depends on weight and with weather-wise as well. So if it's not more than 20 miles an hour wind. It's not too dark, so I can't see him.
Yeah.
I like to take him out every day because where he's not out in the wild, constantly getting exercise, I am his means of exercise.
Yeah.
So I take him out as much as I can, give him as much fitness as possible. Because the fitter he is, the more confident he is. Right. So very, very similar to us. Yeah. You know, when we're in the gym, yeah, we've got our muscles, we feel confident, we feel good.
Combat ready.
Exactly that. Yeah. He's very, very similar. So when he's fat and can't really be bothered, he's very grumpy. And when he's got his muscles, when he's down to his hunting weight,
yeah,
he's efficient, shall we say.
There he goes.
Efficient, shall we say.
Seems like he wants to go outside.
He's, I mean, we can take him outside, yeah. I'm not sure if he's going to do anything, but yeah, I mean, we can definitely take him outside, absolutely, yeah.
Let's do it in a minute. So with the license, you don't need a license to have one of these.
So this is where the grey area comes from.
Anyone can get a hawk, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So under the 79, Wildlife and Countryside Act, it is illegal to own or have a bird of prey that's native to the UK. So what I mean by that is, let's say you've got sparrowhawks that are in that tree over there. It is illegal for you to go up the tree, take the eggs from there.
Okay.
So at that point, you're
messing with the whole natural balance. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it goes for robins, pigeons, any bird that's native to the UK.
Yeah.
It is illegal to cause damage or harm to the eggs or the bird, which is why sometimes if you see owls up close, they'll have a silver ring on them to show that they are wild. But if you were to get a UK native bird, you would have to get what's called an Article A10.
Okay.
That comes from the breeder. Right. So when I got my falcon, I had an Article A10, which states that who the breeder is, what the bird is, where it was bred, what its birth date was, just so if any governing body does come round and tries and do the bureaucratic way of things, then you can obviously show them the certificate, prove that the bird is legal. This guy, because he's not native to the UK, you can go out and get one tomorrow if you really wanted to, or after this podcast. You know, I could sell him to you now, and he will be yours, because where he's not native, the governing bodies don't really need the A10 document because they're not nesting in the UK. The only ones that do nest in the UK is, let's say I lose Romulus and Minerva,
yeah,
and then they breed,
yeah,
then it would become a native UK, but that's due to my own negligence, which is what we mitigate.
I like the fact that you're going to be doing the hunting with him, or the pest control, because then it's more like he's not just being kept in captivity, he's actually being used for what he's actually designed for.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they get animals, exotic pets, and they just, it's kind of cruel because they just keep them in like a cage.
Yeah.
And it's completely out of their natural environment, but
yeah,
he's obviously working.
Oh yeah,
hunting.
Yeah.
So does he actually? Is that where most of his food source comes from? The stuff he hunts, or is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mainly, so from September till February, we'll go out, catch whatever he wants. So whatever he feels comfortable catching, he will go for. So at the beginning of the season, where he's getting used to being back out again, it'll only be small little dormice, things like that. So, but once he gets more confident, he'll then start going further afield. So what I mean by that is, he sees a squirrel, he'll then go for it, then go for more squirrels. And then as he gets more and more confident, he gets more and more boisterous, shall we say. Which is all right sometimes. I've got to be very careful of where I take him, because where a lot of small dogs are smaller than your average
rabbit,
yeah, it's you've got to keep your head on a swivel sometimes.
Might take out a little chihuahua, mate.
We have had a few close calls with that, but luckily his recall's absolutely spot on, which is obviously what you need from him.
Can you imagine taking your dog for a walk and this hawk just comes down and
there was a story, actually. I saw it on another podcast. I think it was a Joe Rogan podcast. This guy was talking about, there was a falconer somewhere in the UK. They had a summer fete,
yeah,
and there was a guy doing a hawk talk.
Okay.
just like we're doing now, but outside, with lots of kids, lots of small dogs. This hawk's gone up a tree.
Yeah.
And stayed up there until it's seen a small dog and then gone down, taken the dog, taken it back up the tree, and only to the horror of the owner.
Had its way with him.
Yeah, we will say that. And apparently it wasn't the nicest sight, which, you know, I can agree with. It's not very pleasant, especially if it's your own dog being eaten.
Yeah, nice. Especially if that dog's become like a family member.
Exactly.
Imagine
Imagine
taking him for a walk one day and this unsuspecting animal just comes out of a tree and just takes him away.
Picked out of the sky. Oh, yeah, God. It's yeah, that's something that I do need to be very, very careful of. So in terms of insurance, he's got public liability. So if it was to ever happen, obviously I don't want it to, but the lifespan these guys have, it's better to have it and not need it, and need it and not have it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if anything like that does happen, like let's say he goes after a cat, any court cases he is covered for.
Nice. How much need is there for like pest control for these kind of animals? Is it quite common where birds are used for that?
So at the moment, a lot of councils prefer to use poison, which is one of the reasons why I'm getting into pest control, because the way I see it, using poison is the most uneconomical and most eco-destroying supplement to get rid of pests.
Yeah, it probably just sits around, doesn't it? And you just, yeah.
Well, let's say everything
that comes in its path.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's say, you know, you're a shop owner. Let's say Tesco's, for instance. You've got mice in the warehouse. Rather than putting poison down to potentially contaminate the food, and then having a knock-on effect to the mouse, and then a fox, and then who knows what else. I mean, somebody's cat might come in and then eat that mouse, and then they've got poison as well. These guys are natural predators anyway. So if I take them out, do what they do naturally anyway, it's a more eco-friendly and more sustainable way of looking after the environment. And I think it's just a more... It just makes more sense to do it that way rather than just leaving poison down. Because again, let's say we have some in the back garden, and you still got your cat.
Tia died. No. Yeah. She was like 21 when she died.
That's a good age.
That's a really
good age for a cat.
She had a cushy life though. She was an indoor cat. Didn't really go out much.
I like that.
Just slept.
Typical teenager. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, let's say, you put some poison down, Tia eats it, or the rain gets to it and then it dilutes all over the patio and things like that. Exactly, you get poison everywhere, and then you have to get a special contractor to come out, clean it, or you just change the whole like patio of the back garden to get rid of the poison. It makes no sense when these guys do what they do naturally anyway.
It's
just a better way to do it, and also, you know, you get to keep birds of prey as well.
He's like a Navy SEAL, isn't he? He goes in there and he just flushes out the enemy, and then that's taken care of.
Exactly that. And even if he doesn't catch anything, the prey around the area will move on. It's very similar to why we have hunters that go out shooting deers, because we got rid of us humans, lovely people we are. We got rid of the wolves back in the 1700s. And since then, deers will then stay in one spot, which is then why you get no new growth. You then get farmers' crops being destroyed. You also get people's gardens being destroyed because there's no wolves or any predator to move them on. Because once he goes into an area or into a garden, the birds will then, or whatever he's going for, will then know there is a predator in the area. Mm. So rather than staying there and potentially getting eaten, they will just move on.
Yeah,
right. And then that is how you get new growth and new things. I mean, obviously he's not going to catch a deer, but I mean, it would be great to see him do it.
I would love to. Picks him up by the bloody antlers and just flies off.
Oh, there we go. Come again on. Yeah.
Get them wings pumping.
We'll get one bird on the neck, one bird on the back, you know, lift him up, airlift. But yeah, it's a lot more ecological way of doing things, and again, it's what they do naturally anyway.
Yeah.
So to put poison down, it just makes no sense whatsoever.
That's true. That's a fair point. Right, should we take him outside?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.